Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Zion just strikes a deal, and it's worth an awful lot to wear the kicks that he's going to wear. Plus, a lot of basketball talk today as well. Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, will have his number 35 hanging from the rafters. We'll talk to one player who's got his number hanging from the rafters, and we'll talk to Mahmoud's former teammate. All these stories, plus Sunbelt Conference Sound, today, Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019.
And that ball is hit well. That one's to the left. That one is gone! Three-run homer for Diaz. Welcome back.
How good does that have to feel for Aledmys Diaz?
Here's Dan Travis who booms one. Deep left center field. This one to the track, to the wall, and this one is gone as well. 7 for Boston. Back-to-back Benintendi and Travis. 3 of the last 4 Red Sox hitters have gone yard against Beeks.
The pitch. Swung on and hammered. Deep left center field, and this ball is gone. Oscar Mercado has hit his 8th. A line drive solo home run to left center field, and the Indians keep piling it on, leading 7-3.
Baseball, enjoy it while you can, because football's right around the corner. And then you take a second row behind the NFL and college football. And with that, we say good afternoon and welcome. Happy Tuesday to you and yours from the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. That's where my producer extraordinaire, CD, Clint Domain, is. Yours truly, Studio 1A. And it's great to be with you. A busy day planned for you and yours. We'll get kind of a recap of Sunbelt Conference Media Day with Chris Vanini. He will join us from The Athletic. He covers the Group of Five conferences. Today he's in Vegas for the Mountain West Conference, but he will join us and had a sit-down conversation with the new commissioner of the conference. Very, very impressed with him. Get his thoughts on the Raging Cajuns and this league in a hole that's coming up here in a few minutes. And then number 40, his jersey retired from the rafters. Rudy Macklin will join us in this hour as well. He was on the Hall of Fame steering committee that helped to vote in Chris Jackson. We know him now as Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, to have his jersey retired, the number 35, this year during the college basketball season in Peach Palace. Oh, what a terrific player he was. We'll talk to a teammate of his roommate back in college, another Mississippi name. I'm going to tell you what, there's some assistant coaches that probably lost their job not being able to get either Chris Jackson or Vernell Singleton to come on board. They all came to Baton Rouge, and the rest is history, so to speak. But Vernell, now living in Miami, was his teammate. Just think of that team. Think of that team. Chris Jackson, Vernell Singleton, Stanley Roberts, and some guy named Shaquille O'Neal. And they couldn't win at all. Just, mind-boggling. But Vernell will share some thoughts on CJ as well. We'll hear from Billy Napier during the program as well. So it's great to be with you. We are brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. 62 plus in southern and central Louisiana. Everything for your travel needs. Specials every day. If you can't find it there, you just can't find it. You can't. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. Oh, it's nice to be Zion. After months of deliberating a handful of offers, the rookie for the Pelicans, the number one overall NBA draft pick, has signed a multi-year shoe deal with the Jordan brand. Now, remember, he had the blowout against North Carolina wearing a pair of Nikes. Now, Jordan brand is under the Nike umbrella, but it's its own separate and apart division. So he says, since I was a kid, I dreamed of making it to the league and having the type of impact on the game that Michael Jordan had and continues to have today. Boy, if you can have an impact like he had, that would be something. Now, terms of the deal were not disclosed, though multiple competitor brands had offered the rookie more than $10 million annually in their negotiations, according to industry sources. Zion announced the signing on Instagram today. Nice to be Zion. He gets to wear all the shoes he wants, gets all the gear he wants, and pretty interesting. More than 67% of NBA players currently wear Nike basketball sneakers. So the Jordan brand, around 7% of the league. You've got Adidas, you've got Under Armour, you've got all kinds of things. But there you go, Zion with the big ticket number. Nice to be him. Saints rookies are in camp. Training camp officially begins for the vets on Friday. And you have a myriad of predictions for the Saints. Some say this is third time's a charm. They've been knocking on the door, and this will be the year. Others say quite the contrary. They say they can't possibly recover from back-to-back season-ending blows like they've had of late, and some aren't even picking them to make the playoffs. Oh, it's great. Mark Sanchez has retired. The butt fumble king is retiring. He's going to be a college analyst. How about that? And they're dropping like flies out of Team USA. Players are just dropping left and right. Dame Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, the latest to say, I'm not going to play in this preliminary round, which is very important to get your team into the Olympic Games. Zion Williamson backed out as well. But USA will still have enough in the chamber to get it done. We're 39 days away from the start of the college football season. Just 39. And more backlash coming from outside sources about the new LSU $28 million privately raised money to improve their football ops center. I have no problem with it. I just think if others want to do similarly, go out, work hard, raise the money, and show a reason of value why it should happen, and it'll come your way as well. I have no problem with it at all. But guess what? No excuses now. None. They've got everything. Top of the line of everything. You better win. And you better win against you-know-who soon. They'll find somebody else to ride this train. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Chris Vanini, The Athletic, joins us talking Sun Belt Conference football here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
This Sun Belt Conference report brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets with over 60 in southern and central Louisiana. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. Monday was Sun Belt Conference Media Days. Chris Vanini covers the group of five for The Athletic. He was in New Orleans. Now he's traveling to the Mountain West. He's here, there, and everywhere, but kind enough to spend some time with us today. Chris, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm here in, you're right, in Vegas for Mountain West, so making a trek from New Orleans to Vegas is certainly pretty fun.
I can think of two worse places to have to go to cover some media days. My goodness gracious. You had a sit-down conversation with the new commissioner, Keith Gill, who was hired in March, began working in May, coming from the Atlantic 10. Seems to be a very impressive gentleman. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, he, like I said, very impressive guy. He's a former Duke football player, so he's got a real football background. So I was interested in his view on the state of the league in football. It's a league that, you know, last year had 3 10-win teams, and I think it's a league that doesn't get a lot of attention, but it really has developed, I think, a solid identity and a real geographic fit. And when you see places like Conference USA and the American that are stretched very, very far, the Sun Belt's in a more unique spot. And he brings in a lot of experience and still working on the job. And it was interesting to get his thoughts on where the league stands.
Yeah, I think the addition by subtraction, getting rid of New Mexico State and Idaho and then adding App State, Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina, I'm with you. The fit is just much better. What's the most pressing topic on his mind? You said it's an underrated conference. How do you get it rated more? It's got to be television, right?
Well, I think that's exactly what the biggest thing he's tackling. What he told me was basically telling the story of the league and getting more attention, whether it's media, you know, TV stories, whatever, just getting more attention on the Sun Belt and its teams for what they do. So that was my first time at Sun Belt Media Days. I was very impressed with the way everything runs. And the biggest thing I think to do that to get the attention on the league would be to get that New Year's Six berth in football, because the MAC got it, the American's gotten it 3 times, and that's been hugely important for its brand. And then Boise State got it once with the Mountain West. So the Sun Belt needs a team that I think to get to that point, and that, you know, rising water will lift all boats when the Sun Belt gets attention on something like that.
He's the first ever African American FBS commissioner. He's got to be kind of proud of that, I would think.
Yeah, you know, he told me he grew up in Jim Crow, South Carolina, and then to have the opportunities that he should have. Wanted to live up to what they've supported with him. And shortly after he was hired, the Big Ten hired Kevin Warren and another African-American commissioner. So, you know, he talked about how seeing people who look like him in those positions of leadership really, you know, inspire him further. And that's the case for a lot of people. And that's what representation does. And it gets more people trying to get into places where maybe they previously didn't thought they could get.
Chris Vanini, who covers college football for The Athletic, doing his yeoman's work with the Group of Five. I'm curious as to your thoughts on the league, particularly in this part of the world with Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, Billy did a heck of a job that first season. I think they were picked to finish maybe fourth in the division. They end up winning it. Kind of weird 7-7 record, but to win the division in year one was certainly, I think, maybe ahead of schedule. And talking to him, he's really high on Levi, a quarterback, thinks there's a lot of opportunity there, and the rest of the team should improve defensively. The pieces around the quarterback and the recruiting that's going on there, the expanded support staff that Billy has been doing there, continuing to build that infrastructure, I think is really putting the program in an upward trajectory.
I really like what they're doing. It's such a fine edge, a fine line with these Group of Five schools. So many times you see, like, the Raging Cajun will go play at Alabama. They'll go play at Mississippi State, these big dollar games that they need to sustain their athletic department, and yet it kills them when it comes to these you know, these big bowl games at the end of the year where they can generate things. So I'm seeing, yeah, the Raging Cajuns will go play Mississippi State, but it's on a neutral field in New Orleans. And then they don't do that stuff anymore. There's just one of those. And now they're playing a schedule, I think, that's more conducive to them. Do you see that as a trend, or are these big money payout games still going to be a priority?
No, yeah, I don't remember what the exact number was, but I was talking to one of the guys at the conference, and he was telling me the numbers of how they have cut down on the bye games quite a bit, which is good for – that in turn leads to – I think it was last year the Sun Belt maybe had the best non-conference record of all the Group of Five leagues, and in that were games. I think you can still look for Power Five games, but you look for a game where you maybe have an opportunity or something special to your fans. So instead of going mm-hmm. to, like, instead of playing at Alabama, you're playing Mississippi State, and it's in, you know, the Superdome. So right. you can find ways to still play Power Five teams in ways that are a little more advantageous to you. So I think you're seeing more and more Sun Belt teams do this. Less of them are willing to just be kind of a doormat, and I think you're starting to see the results of that.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic. Keith Gill, the commissioner, he's really not pushing hard for playoff expansion. Why is that?
Yeah, I was, you know, different teams have had different perspectives. Let's go with the American has obviously been pushing publicly. Keith seemed less talking a lot.
So hey, Chris, if you could move around a little bit, you're breaking up a little. If you could find a better area, because I'm really curious about this, the reasoning why.
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Okay, not my type. All right, so
you got to get out of the casino. You got to quit playing blackjack and come talk to me.
All right, so you want me to start that over?
Yes, go ahead.
I was a little surprised that Keith Gill was not super big on pushing for playoff expansion. The American and Mike Oresko have really been at the forefront of that, obviously pushing really, really hard for expansion anywhere they can get, but some of the other Group of Fives just aren't. At least publicly for that. I was just talking to Craig Thompson, the Mountain West Athletic Director, and he said that's something that they absolutely obviously would love and hope to get there, but not something that he is also pushing publicly. So I'm not sure if it's because they don't think it's really going to happen because you still have a number of years left on the TV contract with the playoffs, but some people are pushing more than others, and it doesn't seem like the Sun Belt is it's not on the top of the docket right now.
Chris Vanini, The Athletic. In the big picture of things, I know football is huge, but it seems to me the more basketball teams you can get into the NCAA tournament, boy, you can make some money that way. And I'm sure that's another topic for another day with the new commissioner. But is it App State and the Raging Cajuns again? I mean, look, they had their first conference championship game. I'm all in favor of that. Was that a success in the minds of the conference?
Yeah, you know, to get a conference championship game, you know, you don't want to be one of those, you know, just about everybody, I think everybody has them now, and that last Saturday and Saturday after Thanksgiving, it's a spotlight for your conference. It brings in more money for your conference, and it gives players more to play for when you've got divisions, and especially when you only have divisions of five teams. You know, it's a lot, everybody's in it, and the fact that it's 10 teams play almost everybody in the conference as opposed to, you know, somebody like SEC where you don't see another team on the other end of the conference for a decade. So I think it's a good setup with a 10-team league, two divisions, a championship game, and it's a little uneven right now, I think, with the way the West played last year, but I think it's been going well.
It's all about raising dollars. It's not like LSU can go out and get $28 million from donors to help improve a locker room situation. That's the biggest challenge of the Group of Five, raising money and trying to get their finger in the dam of the media rights that are out there. And I know the Sun Belt's locked in through 2028, I believe. Do they see an incremental increase year after year with their rights deal?
it is going to be, I don't have the specific numbers on me, but it is going to be a step up when it begins. I think next year is when the next deal starts, and he said it's a pretty significant increase. Everybody's increasing. The American just had a big increase. The Mountain West is going through their negotiations right now. So, even as TV, more people are cutting the cord, TV subscribers are going down, it's making live sports more and more valuable. That's the lifeboat. That's the life raft for a lot of TV places right now, is getting that live content. And the Sun Belt will have that, and so they'll continue to use it.
Well, Chris Vanini, I can't thank you enough. We're going to have you on again, but get back to Vegas. But overall, you thought the Sun Belt Conference handled their day very, very well, I assume.
Yeah, like I said, it's my first time there, but they've got a good group of coaches. They lost Scott Satterfield, they lost Neil Brown, two guys who really elevated the programs they were at. But I think Eli Drinkwitz and Chip Lindsey take over programs that are in very good spots. The cupboard is far from bare. App State should probably be the favorite in the league. Georgia Southern is back on track. Arkansas State's always solid. So I think like I said, it's a league that doesn't get a lot of attention. Much attention at all nationally, because they're smaller schools in smaller towns, but there really is solid football across that league, I think.
I'm with you. Chris Vanini, The Athletic, thank you so much, and we appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, you're welcome very much. Chris Vanini, kind enough to join us. It is an underrated league. You just got to keep on, you got to have that one team that just. App State beat Michigan back in the day and brought notoriety. Now they're in this conference. A team has to go through this thing undefeated and become a Boise State. That's plain and simple. That's the only way you're going to get the recognition in the conference. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, recognition in LSU basketball. We'll talk to a guy who has his jersey retired. And we'll talk about the newest member to have his number retired. Next on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
And we're back. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7TheGame.com. Hanging from the rafters of the Pete Maravich Assembly Center are SEC titles, NCAA tournament appearances, Final Fours, and four jersey numbers, which will now be joined by a fifth. The number 23 hangs from the rafters, belonging to the late Pistol Pete Maravich. Number 33 to Shaquille O'Neal. Number 50 to the great Bob Pettit. Number 40 hangs from the rafters as well. He was my teammate, and he's kind enough to join me now, and that is Rudy Macklin. Mac, I appreciate the time, buddy. How are you?
Man, doing good, man. Just trying to save my hair that keeps falling out.
Father Time always wins, but you were very instrumental as part of the LSU Hall of Fame committee to ensure that number 35 will hang from the rafters at some point in time during this upcoming LSU college basketball season. We knew him back in the day as Chris Jackson. Now he is Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, one of the all-time greats. And I've said this before, I'll put those five jerseys against five jerseys of any other school, the UCLA's, Kentucky's, Indiana's, Connecticut, whoever you think of as a basketball school, give me the five from LSU, and I'll win hands down every game.
They did that. Sports Illustrated did that a long time ago. And they had us as the top school with these five guys right here now. And I think UCLA was next, and then followed by, North Carolina and then Louisville. But they had us at the top. I mean, it was that's really saying something right there.
Really is. Kind of a no-brainer. A kid that averaged, he was a two-time All-American, first-team All-American. He averaged 30.2 points per game in his first season. He's still the only freshman in college basketball history to average over 30 points a game. He scored over 40 points 11 times, over 50 points 4 times. I mean, what took so long, I guess, is what people are asking.
Well, when his name came up, we were behind because it was the committee. We have other occupations. It's not like we work for the LSU athletic department. We call a meeting and go to the conference room and we meet. We all have different occupations in our lives. Me, myself, you know, I got 38 governor's games events across the state. I got 31 parishes with my elementary fitness competition, and I run the minority health program. So
right.
It was hard sometimes to make the meetings and get a quorum. And when his name came up, we were already behind. And so we had to play catch up, and then we had a couple of storms come through. We had some floods come through.
Right.
And we just couldn't get together as a group. And then we just finally got a chance to catch up because we didn't want to step over a lot of people.
Right.
But just to get his done. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that are still waiting for a decision. And when we kept getting backed up, more names kept coming up. More requests kept coming.
Sure.
So at the time, Joe Oliva, he headed up the group. And we had to, especially in the springtime, it's really tough to get everybody together, especially me.
Yes.
So we finally got caught up and got everybody that we made and from the other Hall of Fame members that are in the hall now and finally got around to him. And so, plus, you know, you have to have, like, when you graduate, you have to be 5 years removed from playing intercollegiate ball, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to sit on the table for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then while that's happening, the other names are being considered and requested, and so all of that takes a long time. Now, I've been on the table in my own state of Kentucky for like the last 4 or 5 years myself. Okay, so they haven't gotten around to me.
Patience, Rudy. Patience. They're still mad at you for leaving the state of Kentucky and coming to the state of Louisiana to play basketball. So, I mean, there's politics involved in that, my friend. But look, speaking of politics, I'm just glad that this committee just focused on the things that happen on the court and not maybe some of the peripheral things that people may have been upset about. But you know what? On the court, it's a no-brainer.
Well, you can't please everybody.
Right.
But, you know, we had our guidelines, you know, what it takes, the criteria for being considered, and we stuck by the guidelines. This is the bottom line. And he proved himself on the court to have an unusual talent. And we had a unanimous decision, and that was it. It's just that we can't work as fast as some people would like for us to work. But I'm gonna give everybody that was requested for a Hall of Fame or any other type of accolades the committees overseas. We got to give everybody they just do. And I'm gonna take my time and study everybody's application that comes through. And so it may not move as fast as some people would like. You know, that's. I'm sorry, but that's just how we work. We gonna
Let
make
me
sure.
Ask, yeah, make sure you get it right. Let me ask you this: you played against some of the very best players that ever laced up sneakers, whether it be Isaiah Thomas or Larry Bird or whoever it may be, Michael Jordan, whatever. First time you saw, quote, Chris Jackson, what was your impression?
Man, my impression was, you know, he was like a kind of a throwback because we had seen his like come through before in the NBA, in the old NBA. But this kid, man, when he came through, you know, he was so far ahead of everybody else with his skill sets. Normally it takes, you know, especially a point guard, a little time to develop, maybe the junior, senior year when he got to that type of level. But he came in like that.
Right.
You know, he's like he was born come in knocking down threes and going by people. And when you come in as a freshman doing that kind of damage, man, that's just incredible. And so we were just fortunate as the LSU Nation to have somebody like him Would I like him to stay two more years? Oh, exactly. But we just couldn't hold him back. He was just that good. And so I'm just happy for him and glad to be to know him and have him part of the LSU family.
Yeah.
And just to watch him play, period. Oh, my gosh. It was like when he came on TV, everybody tuned in.
No question.
Everybody. And
I equate to this. I mean, again, here, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but if he had come a little bit later on, and if he would now be in the NBA with his skill sets that we have seen, he'd be Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Just a little smaller.
Yeah, he was Steph Curry before Steph Curry. Well, we should say Steph Curry was Chris Jackson.
That's
okay.
Right.
Steph Curry came in, he said, well, we've seen somebody like him before. We had Chris Jackson. And so I'm sure Chris would have, Mahmoud rather, would rather have get the kind of money that they're making now. But but during his time, man, Mahmoud, he was it. He was it. And when you see Steph Curry, you're looking at, back then, Chris Jackson.
No question. Rudy Macklin, kind enough to join us, the all-time leading rebounder in LSU basketball history, second leading scorer in NBA LSU basketball history, behind a guy that record will never be broken of Pistol Pete. Guys don't stay that long anymore. There's no way.
No, they don't. They don't stay, and that's a shame. I wish they would stay. You know, for the sake of loyalty to your university. That's just me. I'm an old school. I like to stay 4 years and get the most out of their experience. And but that's the route we're going now. And I think it's really watered down the NBA because of that. The young guys coming in don't make an immediate impact anymore.
Because
they're not ready. So I don't see an immediate impact from the number one pick in Zion Williamson. I just don't see it.
Really?
Because he has so many things to learn. And he could have gotten them if he stayed at Duke.
I hope you're wrong as a Pelicans fan. I hope he comes in and has a kind of a fresh rookie year that Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf had when he was at LSU, but time will tell on that. We shall see. But you have your number retired. It's up in the rafters. Take me back and what that day, that moment meant and still means to you.
Well, it means a great deal because of the journey that it took to get to that point. You know, I came in, to LSU, looking to turn things around. You know, that's what I was asked to do. I did what I was asked to do, by Coach Brown. He said, if you go to one of those big basketball universities, they're going to do well whether you go or not. But if you come to LSU, you can always say you built something. I came in with the mindset of to win and to lead a team. I didn't come in shooting the ball 20 and 30 times a game. That's not what I was asked to do. I was asked to come in and turn a losing program into a winning program. That's what I was asked to do. And so that's what we, as a team, I wanted to lead a team and rely on teammates to make that happen. Because when we win, everybody wins. It's like, remember the old days they say when Pete Maravich played, and they said, did you see Pete play last night? They said, no. They said, how many points did Pete get?
That's
okay.
Right.
And they said, well, when we played, we said, did you see Rudy Macklin play the other night? No. And they said, well, did we win?
Yeah.
Okay. Or they said, did LSU play that night? They said, well, did we win?
Right.
And so when that Pistol Pete played, did LSU play, how many points did Pete get? So it was about everybody won. They always said, did we win? And that's what I wanted everybody to say. Because when we won, the whole state of Louisiana won. Not just one person scoring a bunch of points.
That's right.
And then losing the game. And I didn't want to be like that. I wanted everybody to win. And I'm part of a team that, if anything, any record I'm most proud of is I won more games than everybody. Okay? Yeah. The team that I was on. That's what I like.
Very good point. Very good point. And which brings me up, when I look back at that team, and I'll use his name when he was at LSU, it was Chris Jackson. You had Shaquille O'Neal. You had Stanley Roberts. You had Vernell Singleton. You had Wayne Sims, Mo Williamson. How in the Sam Hill did that team not win more? It's just unbelievable.
They had the same coach that we had.
Yeah.
Okay? But the difference was leadership. You know, we had the type of leadership, you know, you as captain, we served as co-captains once before, remember? You and I serving as captains, we wanted everybody to be a part of a winning team. And we had balanced scoring, okay? Nobody scored 40, and then the rest of the team scored 8, 9, and that kind of stuff. It was like 17, 18, 16, and then we rebounded well, and we defended well as a team. And that's how we wanted it. And so it's all about leadership. And if anything I'm proud of to get to my jersey being retired is that I led my team, you know, which requires me to be having my jersey retired. I led my team to the most victories in LSU history. And that's what I wanted to be known as. I led my team.
No doubt. Rudy Macklin, kind enough to join us. So be honest, when you go watch the Tigers play now, you got to look up every game and look at that number, and your heart has to kind of accelerate a little bit, thinking about all the time spent in that gym and downstairs in the dungeon and all the work that went into it. It didn't just come by nature. You had to work for it, and we pushed each other every day. But do you look at it every time you go in there?
Oh, of course. I do. I'm not going to lie about that. It reminds me when I was being recruited by those so-called big basketball powers in high school, I'd always walk into those big arenas and see banners hanging up from retired jerseys and championships and that kind of stuff. But when I walked into LSU, it was an assembly center at the time, I saw no banner at all. And it made me wonder, wow, you know, what have I walked into? And now, by the time my senior year, you know, banners were being hung. You know, and so that makes me feel proud that I came at a time where there were no banners in the PMAC. Now we got banners all around, and that's a beautiful feeling.
Rudy, you put Pistol Pete at the point. Chris Jackson, I think he's a better two guard than a point guard. You at the small forward, Bob Pettit at the power forward, Shaq in the middle. You got scoring unlimited. You got great rebounding. You got the rim protector. My gosh, who's going to beat that team? Seriously.
They couldn't stop us, man. You couldn't stop. Can't stop that team.
I would pay big dollars to watch that team play. Let me come off the bench and be a three-point shooter with that team, and I'd be happy.
Oh, yeah, we got to have a good bench. Now, that would be a good conversation, Jordy. Who would be the bench?
What would be the bench? That's for another story for another day. Man, congratulations to the committee. I think it's well-deserved, good timing, and it'll be great to see. Mahmoud's still scoring like 50 points a game in the Big Three. I mean, at 50 years old, he's still filling it up.
I don't know how he does it. We got to find out how he stays in such great shape, especially shooting shape. You know, he just can shoot the ball. He was just born to do it. You know, that's all I can say. He was born to do it.
Doesn't he have bad knees or something? I mean, my goodness gracious.
Bad anything.
It's something. I don't know. But what a great player he was, as were you, my friend. Thanks for sharing some thoughts on it. We greatly appreciate it. Keep up the great work with helping kids get in shape and learning how to play sports and having fun doing it, man. Congratulations. Love you to death, buddy.
All right, my bud. Thank you.
Take care. Rudy Macklin, kind enough to join us here on the Jordy Helfberg Show. Again, Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, number 35, hanging from the rafters, never to be worn again by an LSU basketball player. Boy, he could play. Ooh, could he play? We'll be back here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, we're back. 52 after the hour. Busy second hour plan for you and yours. But this just out, not only will LSU and Texas meet on the football field this season, but the basketball teams will meet as well. According to well-known sources, the SEC Big 12 Challenge has been set, and LSU in it this year. They weren't in it a year ago. LSU will play at Texas this year. The matchups, five games on SEC home courts, five games on Big 12 home courts. Kentucky at Texas Tech, Tennessee at Kansas, Mississippi State at Oklahoma, Missouri at West Virginia, and LSU at Texas. SEC teams hosting will be Baylor at Florida, Oklahoma State at Texas A&M, Iowa State at Auburn, Kansas State at Alabama, and TCU at Arkansas. I, for one, am thrilled about this, that LSU is back in this, and I hope that there are some more basketball conference challenges down the road. I think that would be terrific. So LSU and Texas looking to do a little sweep, both games in Austin, football in September, and basketball sometime, I don't know. I don't know when it will be, but we shall see. So good news on that front. Again, you're seeing a lot of LSU football players coming out talking about, hey, the money raised for the improvements of the Football Ops Center is all came from private donations to the Tiger Athletic Foundation. Look, if those people on the academic side are screaming from the rooftops, the library, the Middleton Library is basically falling apart. Well, go raise the money that it takes. Go raise the money. See, the Alumni Association kept trying to battle and go heads up against the athletic department, and they couldn't win. So they finally kind of said, look, let's all be in this together and do things together. I don't fault the LSU athletic department, the football program. The Tiger Athletic Foundation is accessible. You know what the ground rules are. You know what you can give. If you give, you get something in return. Okay? It's tangible. You can go to the football games and see it. How many donors are going to actually go and sit in the library and read a book? No, it's different. It's just the nature of the jungle. It just is. So go do what you have to do on your side and let athletics do what they don't wake up the sleeping giant, because that sleeping giant continues to donate to the academic side. No, don't tick them off. You know, that would be silly. And we call it up the hill. The academic side, and then there's the athletic side, and there's a great relationship between the two. Virg Osbury promoted to be that liaison between both parties. It can all work together. But football brings in so much money. So much money. And it's a reason why when football is successful, the enrollment increases at LSU. It's just the facts. It's the way it is. So, all you that want to complain about the library being in dire straits, well, do it right. Form a committee and go raise the money and keep working hard to raise the money. And then go do it. I like what Tyrann Mathieu did. He donated $1 million. He's also provided for the Mathieu Lounge in the Football Ops Center. He's also donated money for scholarships. You know, they rely on former athletes who have done well to give back. Not all do. Some do, and they greatly appreciate that. So quit complaining. Let football do what they want to do. And you do what you have to do. Plain and simple. That closes out hour number one. Coming up, Hot Topics. We'll hear from Billy Napier. And Chris Jackson's roommate back at LSU will join us as well. The Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hey, welcome aboard. Hour number two. Off we go. CD back in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Yours truly, Jordy Hultberg here, Studio 1A, busy second hour plan. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday, July 23rd. Well, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Forbes has come out with their wealthiest sports organizations. The Dallas Cowboys, worth $5 billion, number one. The New York Yankees at $4.6 billion, number two. Some soccer clubs come in next. Real Madrid, worth $4.24 billions at number three. Barcelona, $4.02 billions at number four. And they haven't won since the 70s. The New York Knicks, valued at $4 billion, they're number five. Pelicans didn't make it, but the Saints, number 50 in the most valuable sports franchises in Major League Baseball, football, basketball, all of that. Gail Benson and company valued at $2.08 billion, a 4% increase from a year ago, with an operating income of $115 million. Without further ado, with all those facts and figures, we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Saints at number 50. That surprised me with some other teams ahead of them. But for a small market team, $2.08 billion ain't too shabby, my friend.
It is not, Jordy, but I'm wondering how the hell are the New York Knicks worth $4 billion, according to Forbes? I can't understand that. I can't
fathom
that.
Real estate, baby.
Okay.
Real estate, Madison Square Garden, New York City, the television package they have. That's what it's all about. Same thing with the Cowboys. That Jerry's World. Oh, man.
Well,
real estate.
At least with them, it makes a little bit more sense to me, Jordy, that you have, obviously, you have that kind of setup. I feel like that one makes a lot more sense than than the New York Knicks, $4 billion, and yet they are probably one of the worst franchises, the worst run franchises in the history of sports.
James Dolan's laughing all the way to the bank. He's just singing his life away. Ain't no big, he could care less. He's got all the money in the world. So anyway, I just feel for the fan base there.
You have to, Jordy. I mean, they've been dealing with a lot of struggles for quite some time, but I think they just need to look over to Cleveland, Ohio, and realize sometimes the hard times, they'll end at one point or another. When? You don't quite know.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The Houston Rockets are in the top 50. No Houston Astros, though. So they've been very, very successful.
Yep.
The Texans are there as well, but no Astros yet. They're outside of the top 50.
That one boggles the mind, Jordy. Outside of the top 50, considering what they've been able to do over the last couple of years, they've started to build a lot of kind of a great relationship with their fan base. I'm surprised at that one just a little bit more. But moving over to stuff that's actually going on in the world of sports, I think, Jordy, we need to kind of start things off. Obviously, looking at the biggest story in the sports world is Zion Williamson signing that multi-year deal with the Jordan brand not long after his shoe explosion incident. I'm surprised at that, Jordy. Are you?
It's still, you know, it's under the Nike umbrella, but the Jordan brand is a separate entity.
Okay.
Underneath the Nike umbrella. So, it's not run by the same people. That's Michael Jordan. That's why he owns a sports franchise, because of the Jordan brand apparel line that he is, that he was wise to sign, and Nike was so wise to sign up for him. I can't wait to hear what the actual dollar amount is. We had talked about that earlier. Competitors offering $10 million annually. There's no telling what the Jordan brand, the final dollar figures will be, but Zion's got no worries anymore.
Exactly. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there, Jordy, when you just look at Zion Williamson and him signing that monstrous deal with the Jordan brand. Now he's kind of getting himself set up for the 2019 season. And a lot of big news coming out of the NFL side of things. Obviously, the biggest one of them all, the Sanchez, no longer a player after 8 years. He is hanging it up. It feels like he hung on just a little too long.
He'll always be known as the butt fumble. Now he's going to be a college football television analyst. And good for him. Never panned out like everybody thought he would. Given many, many opportunities, maybe he'll be better in the booth. Maybe he'll be a Tony Romo in the college game. Predict calls before they even happen.
Well, I'm sure he probably would just wind up being one of those guys that deals with a lot of the talking head aspect of things. He'll be on SportsCenter and whatever. It's a college football life still. Right now, Jordy on the four-letter network, he'll be handling a lot of that stuff, I feel like, to begin with. I don't think they'll thrust him into the booth like we've seen other people, because it feels like right now, they also wound up announcing yesterday their college football lineup, so it feels like everything's kind of squared up on that end.
Squared up, and CBS made their decision, instead of the LSU-Alabama game being in prime time, they're going early in the season with Notre Dame at Georgia. So the fact that LSU has lost 8 straight times to Alabama, I think around the country, it's like, well, hey, why should we watch that game? We know who's going to win. They're trying to get that Subway fan club of the Irish going against the up-and-coming Georgia Bulldogs. So LSU's got to beat Alabama, and then they'll be back in prime time again.
I think they need to. I think it's the first step to do so, Jordy. But at the same time, you got to imagine, hypothetically, if we head into that bye week. Because, again, like, CBS can still set up a doubleheader. It's not out of the realm of possibility at this point. Sure, Georgia and Notre Dame, they're the ones that are in there. But if LSU heads into that bye week unbeaten, and they'll be, I believe, what, 8-0, 9-0 at that point in time, Jordy, and they'll be playing Alabama, and you have just had that week to really hype this up as potentially a number one Alabama team up against, we'll say top five LSU team, depending on how they wind up faring in these matchups. It's very close. They'll be in the top five, but if they wind up just rolling over opponents like they did in 2011, this could be a 1-2 matchup.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm all for it. I'm hoping so. We'll see. Time will tell, my friend. We'll see.
Exactly. Just something just
to
keep.
Great, though. Great.
It'd be amazing, Jordy, to see that happen. I feel like that's why they're just waiting to see what's going to happen. And one person who definitely doesn't want to wait to see a lot of money come their way is Michael Thomas. A contract extension. This is coming from Yahoo Sports' Charles Robinson, saying that Michael Thomas could be receiving a contract extension that averages between $18 and $19 million annually. And, of course, Thomas is hopeful of earning $20 million a year, but he should be happy if he's able to hit around that range. As you think about it, Jordy, OBJ, the highest-paid wide receiver, $18 million. I think if you can hit around $19 million, you're happy if you're Michael Thomas.
Without question, without doubt. I never saw this coming out of college. I really did. I don't know if I'd be a very good talent evaluator. I never would have seen that out of him. But, boy, he has just grown into this incredible figure. Now the Saints have to find somebody else on the other side so that not everybody just shadows him everywhere. But he's putting up those numbers knowing it kind of reminded me of when LSU had Josh Reed, and everybody knew on the opposing team when LSU was going to pass, they were going to throw to Josh Reed. He still got open. He still completed passes. He still caught them. And that's what Michael Thomas is to the Saints. Just a remarkable talent.
He really is, and he was always a great talent out of Ohio State. I think it was largely because of the fact the dude never really dropped that many footballs. He only had, I think, two drops over his entire collegiate career, and that's something not necessarily everybody looks at, especially when you look at what he had at what they had at Ohio State at that time frame. But I have to say, what we're seeing right now with the New Orleans Buckeyes, if you will, because so many of them are from the Ohio State, it's just like the Pelicans, they got half the roster from Duke now.
Dukie. Yeah, I understand. I don't like either of those schools, but when they come and play on my teams, I love them. I embrace them. That is awesome. Yes.
How can you not love that, Jordy? And also, you got to love about the fact three, count them three, LSU Tigers mentioned in the two-minute drill. I feel like bringing it up once again, Jordy, before we wrap things up here on Hot Topics, is LSU Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton, Jacob Phillips, all named to the Nagurski Award watch list. It's great to see not one, not two, but three defensive players get a lot of love with a team that is going to be highly touted heading into the season.
Again, all the attention is on this, quote, new look offense and the wunderkind Joe Brady. I'm just here to tell you, you win championships with great defense. And with Dave Aranda calling things, LSU's loaded on the defensive side. I'm telling you, they had four linebackers on the Butkus Award watch list. They've got cornerbacks left and right. They're going to be really, really good defensively, knock on wood, if they stay healthy. If that defensive line can stay healthy and just play, they're going to be awesome. I'm telling you, this is the opportunity. This is the year that LSU's always been focused on, because they have a quarterback now with some veteran guile to him. It's been through the rigors, gotten better and better as the season went on. Man, I think that defense is going to be really, really good. The biggest question mark to me, by far, is special teams. Is Cade York going to be able to come in and make field goals? That's the biggest question mark to me. I think everything else, I think the offensive line will work out. I really do. I think the running game will be just fine. Got good wide receivers. It's the kicking game. That's the one. Von Rosenberg is back. It's the kickoff duties and the field goal duties. That's what I'm concerned about the most. If that pans out, shoot. Look out, baby.
Exactly.
Look out.
That team has just all the tools together. I can't wait to see what happens. But one more before I get out of here and we move on to the next thing that's going on. Obviously, last night the Astros came away with a dominant 11-1 win, but one understating part of that has to be Gerrit Cole. 11 strikeouts over 7 innings. Is he starting to really come into his own and start being what we thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year? More importantly, Jordy, can he get to the promised land and be a Cy Young Award winner in 2019?
That's a good question. He's going to have to back it up with consistency down the stretch. And if he does, he'll be right there in the hunt. Just another weapon. Astros are getting healthy at the right time. It's going to be a fun fall for Houston Astro baseball fans. No question about that. Thank you, Clint, very, very much. Those are your Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. They're the best for a reason. Longevity. For nearly 9 decades, nearly 90 years, the Biard family right there in St. Martinville churning out the same great, delicious, consistent product. Finest spices, finest peppers, their own secret ingredients, and there you have it, Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Do yourself a flavor and bring a bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef Hot Sauce on it. Sunbelt Media Days concluded yesterday. We'll hear from head coach Billy Napier on a variety of topics next. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We really are Acadiana Sports Station.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a stake.
don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Sun Belt Conference Media Days got underway on Monday, a one-day event. Season starts on the 30th with a Thursday night game. It's the 31st for the Raging Cajuns, 11 a.m. inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against Mississippi State. And now in his second year as head coach, Billy Napier, year under his belt, players more familiar with his concept, his schemes, his attitude, his expectations. And Billy Napier realizes now we've got some sound of him from Sun Belt Media Days. And he talked about how, you know, App State's good, Arkansas State's good, Troy's good, got some new head coaches in. Sun Belt Conference gets better and better every year.
This league keeps getting better. We've got four new head coaches this year. You know, my first venture into the Sun Belt was last year. And I was very impressed with the quality of coaches. You know, Neil had an opportunity to move on to West Virginia. Coach Satterfield had an opportunity to move on to Louisville. And tremendous respect for the coordinators and the head coaches that we ran into last year.
It's a division format. Year one last year, the Raging Cajuns versus App State. The Cajuns won the West Division. Obviously, Napier loves the division format.
I love this divisional format that we have. I think it's ingenious. I think the championship game brought so much exposure to our league. I love the footprint. You know, we go from Texas to the Carolinas. I think it's basically an SEC footprint, and it's great exposure for our league.
It is great exposure. One belt season under their belt, albeit 7-7. But this 2019 is a whole new scenario.
Our 2019 team is a new team. It's new players, new coaches, new staff members. We're going to have new leadership, especially within our players. It also comes with new opportunities and new challenges. And I think that's the approach you got to take. One thing I do know is this team has worked really, really hard. We've worked extremely hard. And it's been a very productive offseason. We kept our staff intact, which I think was huge. It was very competitive. We had guys that had numerous opportunities, not only coaches but support staff, to go other places. And we kept them at home, and I think that was a big deal, and it was a big win for our team. We've also added a lot of quality people. We've added assistant coaches, graduate assistants, quality control guys. Every area of the organization, we've added really, really good people. I've been impressed with the impact that they've made so far.
Utilizing resources to provide the coach with what he thinks he needs to be successful. And it's always about leadership. It's always about camaraderie. It's always about the intangibles. And Napier likes what he sees in the building this year.
We experienced lots of success, but we also went through a lot of failures and experienced some adversity and battled through that. I think that we understand expectations, and we have better intangibles in the building. I think we're a more disciplined team. We're going to play with better effort. We're tougher. We're in better condition, and we're certainly a more tight-knit group.
And those are the things that it takes to win. But as every coach says, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more to be done.
I think that we need to play better at certain positions on offense without the football. I think on defense we need to continue to work on eliminating explosive plays. We've got to get more takeaways. We've got to tackle better. And on special teams we need a little bit better execution by some of our specialists. And again, we've got to limit big plays on special teams. But in general, we got a lot of work to do is what I would tell you. You know, new team, we're going to start over here on August the 1st. 50 new football players on our team that are in the first year. So this is a, you know, we spent quite a bit of time on the personnel, but we also have spent quite a bit of time on the coaching as well.
That's a lot of newcomers. One person he's not worried about, Deuce Wallace.
Deuce is unique in that he's a legacy. He's a guy who chose you well. He chose to come there as a walk-on and earned his way. Deuce was a walk-on when we first got to UL and has earned a scholarship and has become one of our major contributors on defense and on special teams. Voted team captain by his teammates last year.
Pretty good. Not worried about Deuce at all. Okay, you did it last year. Now everybody's picking you to win the West again this year. What do you think about that, Coach Napier?
I think we're mature enough as a football team and hopefully as a staff to handle that. You know, I think that some people would think that maybe it's a negative, but I think it's a sign that we're improving. I think it's a sign of respect for the coaches that we have on our staff and the players that we have coming back. But a wise man once told me that fish are wrapped in yesterday's newspaper. So I think maybe we were picked fourth last year in our division or something like that. So it doesn't really matter. You know, the games are going to be played this fall, and that's what will decide who wins the division and who gets an opportunity to play in a championship game.
And he mentioned 50 newcomers, so obviously you'll have a lot of young players with opportunities to play.
We do have young players that are going to contribute on our team. There's no question about that. Great opportunity for lots of guys. We played with young players last year and had success, and we'll continue to play with young players. And I think our coaches have done a really good job of adjusting as the season goes and getting the pieces in the right place. And that's one of the reasons that we played better football in the second half of the year last year. It'll be no different this year. It's going to be much more competitive, in my opinion, and you're going to see more players play. And I think they'll be much more promoted and demoted depending on how they practice and prepare each and every week throughout the season.
So it all kicks off Thursday, August 29, Texas State at Texas A&M. On Saturday, the Sun Belt Conference openers look like South Alabama at Nebraska. We've got Mississippi State and Louisiana in the Superdome, Georgia State at Tennessee, East Tennessee State at App State, Eastern Michigan at Coastal Carolina, Campbell at Troy, and SMU traveling to Arkansas State. Yeah, August 1st, right around the corner. We'll take a time out here. We'll meet with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's college roommate, who was a pretty darn good LSU basketball player himself. We'll talk about the legend that was Chris Jackson next on the Shorty Helper Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All the best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Earlier in the program, we talked with another member of the LSU basketball family whose jersey number 40 is hanging from the rafters. That's Duran Rudy Macklin. We know that Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf back at LSU, Chris Jackson, number 35, will be hung from the rafters at some point during this college basketball season for LSU. And one of my all-time favorite players was his teammate. He hailed from the same great state of Mississippi, and he came to LSU. He wore number 24, and boy, could he play. Vernell Singleton. I hadn't talked to Vernell in so long, but I thought this would be an appropriate time. Vernell, I greatly appreciate the time, my friend. How are you?
Jordy, it's good to be with you. I'm good.
Where is life now? You're in Miami, Florida. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Yeah, I've been in Miami for almost 20 years now. Over 15 years, I've helped people down there buy and sell real estate got a team that consists of the top pros in the game. We help facilitate transactions and awesome. Try to make folks' hopes and dreams come true.
That is awesome. Terrific. Take me back. You're in Natchez, Mississippi. Had you heard a little bit about this kid named Chris Jackson? Had his name fit? Because it was a different time. You know, we didn't have social media. We didn't have Twitter. Didn't have all that stuff. But word gets around when you're playing hoops. Had you heard about this kid prior to y'all coming to LSU?
Well, we didn't need it. We didn't need the social media. I mean, it was, you know, heard it through the grapevine. And he was a legend coming out of the ninth grade. You know, he was bigger than life, man. And that was in the ninth grade. And we just heard about all the things he was doing, like the drive he had and the persistent nature and the cat quickness and the accuracy on his shot and this thing called a crossover, a killer crossover that he had that nobody had ever seen before. Mm-hmm. You heard the things like, you know, he wouldn't leave the gym without making 200 straight free throws and how he had a 40-inch vertical or plus and, the height he reached on his jump shot, leaving the floor, the fundamental skills he had. These were all things that he had by the ninth grade. And and with his work ethic, man, he just kept shining them up. Tremendous skill set.
Yeah, Vernell Singleton, kind enough to join us. That's something that just doesn't get handed to you. You got to work at it. And you talked about the work ethic. You come to LSU, he's there. When you saw him up close and personal, it just kind of validated everything you just said?
Yeah, well, I actually had the opportunity. We were in the same division, 5A. And so when we made it to the playoff, we had an opportunity, or I should say the misfortune, of playing him, and he did his thing, and just improved upon his reputation because everybody left there praising him, and he deserved every bit of it. And of course, when we got to LSU, we were roommates, and got a chance to get to know him and see what he was all about. And he was all about working, man. He would wake me up in the middle of the night and talk about how he had to go to the gym and let's go. And at that time, we didn't have rebounding machines and all that stuff. And so me and him would just go to the gym, any time and all times of the night. He wanted to do it. And I said, what about the football game? We're playing Alabama. Let's go to the gym. he was all about the hoop, man.
How many points did he get against you in that high school playoff game?
That part I don't remember, but it might have been upwards of 40 plus points, man. he was a walking double nickel. I mean, that's just who he is and how he is. And he was just persistent, and he was like a machine, man. He just constantly came at you, and it's hard to describe the undescribable, but his quickness was on just another level.
Yeah.
And he just had that it factor, and you could just tell it from the time he stepped on the court.
Yeah, so quick with the dribble, and then equally as quick with the release, because he wasn't the tallest guy. And so a lot of teams would try to defend him with long, like people like you, 6'7", with great quickness and great length. You were a tremendous defender. They tried it, but his release was so quick, nobody could stop him.
No, his release was, man, just something to see. Michael Jordan was his idol, and he took away from a lot of people's games, man, and to make something that actually we had never seen in that body. I had never seen in that body. So, he just was in a category of his own to us, and he was a shining star, no doubt about that.
It was a great team with great, just an unbelievable presence that y'all had about you with Shaq and Stanley, yourself, Chris. How did Chris handle the fame? Because much like the guy that I grew up watching in Pistol Pete Maravich, that wore on him, having to put up those numbers day in, day out. How did Chris handle that pressure? You were his roommate. You'd know.
Sure. thought he did great. I mean, he was kind of prepped a little bit. I mean, in high school, again, every time he stepped on the court, it was filled to the rafters. I mean, everybody wanted to come see the legend of at that time, Chris Jackson. And believe me, he put on a show. As far as at LSU, how it all started off, man, I mean, I think he had his first game, he scored like 13 points, and after that, he didn't see any of that kind of numbers, kind of numbers. I mean, and I remember one game, I think he scored, I think it was against Florida, it may have been the fifth game or something like that. And he scored, I believe it was something like 55 points. And, normally we're pretty jovial and, playing around, stuff teenagers do. Right. And he scored that 55 point game. And I noticed, I looked over after the game was over with, he was on the plane and he was sitting there and it was quiet. I was like, man, I kept saying to him, man, can you believe what you just did, man? Can you believe this? And, he was really quiet and kind of sinking in the seat a little bit. I noticed he was actually a little fearful, like a little worried on his face. I said, "Mike Moore, what's going on, man?" He says, "Man, I don't know what's about to happen, but I think something's about to happen, man." I said, "Well, you scared of turbulence?" Or he's like, "I just scored 55 points. Something got to happen. This is as good as it gets."
Wow.
He was worried about that, and he was serious. He wasn't playing, but obviously he went on to have many great games, and he got over it. Initially, it was fearful. So the type of talent he had, it even made him kind of fearful of things that he was doing.
I only saw the business side of him, and doing the games and watching him perform. Was he ever like one of you guys, laughing and cutting up and going out and doing what normal college kids do?
Well, not going out. I mean, he never was a person that would go out and this and that, but a jokester, a prankster, yes, indeed. I mean, we teased him and he teased us, and, we had back and forth all the time. Now, he's a deep thinker. He's always been that.
Yes.
No, he was just like any other kid. He was just a horse playing around. But when it was time to step on that basketball court, he was all business, man.
Vernell Singleton, kind enough to join us from Miami, where he's a successful real estate broker. Was a tremendous basketball player at LSU. Take me back to that first day. You get Coach Brown gets everybody there for the summertime. You got summer jobs, whatever, and it's time to roll the ball out and have a little pickup game. What in the heck was that like with that group of talented players? That had to be, man, if I had videos of that, right?
That alone. I mean, those games in the dungeon were legendary. And it was just a thrill, man. I couldn't, me being a small town country boy, not even kind of really a throw-in on that team, I was just happy to be there. And I just knew I was about to give it everything that I had from day one and to make sure that I was a part of that team and contributing and, doing the things that Coach asked me to do.
Yeah.
And I was just excited, man. And every game was like a party. Imagine a big party with all your friends invited, and the stage is yours. Man, it was just a blast. It was a blast.
Oh, Shaq and Stanley. Stanley used to dominate those games, I was told.
Stanley was better than Shaq. People don't understand. I mean, Stanley was better than Shaq. I mean, he was dominating Shaq. Shaq was still growing and still learning. Obviously, Shaq caught up real quick. real quick. Stan and Wayne, Ricky Bland, and Mo, Maurice Williamson, Randy Duvall, TJ Pugh. Man, it was crazy. Those pickup games were legendary. Missed those days. Like I said, it was like a big party with all your friends invited. And when we got to the main court, and had the opportunity to put on a show for all the fans, we definitely wanted to do that. We were cognizant of the fact that, we were the team at that point. Wasn't an NBA franchise at that moment. And the LSU football team at that time was kind of still finding their way.
Right.
But we enjoyed it. We enjoyed each other. We loved each other. Coach had us motivated as all get out. And, you know, we loved it, man. We loved every minute of it.
There wasn't a seat to be had in that house, man. That was it was packed to the rafters at all times. It's not easy playing with someone who scores a lot of points. You had to find your way, your niche, and your niche was to defend, to rebound, and to do. I hate to call it the dirty work, but you know, you associate scoring with the beauty of it. And you talk about defense and diving on the floor and deflecting balls as the dirty work, but that's what you did, and you did so well.
Well, I had to get in where I fit in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as plain as I can say it. And, you know, I just relished the opportunity. I was happy to be on the floor. I saw the type of talent that Coach had assembled, and I just wanted to prove that I was worthy to be on that team. And, you know, I hope I did that. And I had a pretty good career at LSU.
No, you had a great career, no question. Vernell Singleton, kind enough to join us, old number 24. You going to come back in town when they have this little celebration? I know you all were back in town celebrating, what, 91? And that was great to see all you guys. The opportunity will present itself. Maybe we can get you back again.
Oh, yes, sir. Let me tell you, I'll be in town probably within the next 4 to 6 months. I'm finishing up got some unfinished business with school, and I plan to finish up and come back. So I'll be around Baton Rouge in the next 4 to 6 months around campus.
That is awesome. Well, Coach Brown will put a check mark by your name. He will not give up until everybody accomplishes their schoolwork and their curriculum, so he'll check you off, man. That's great news.
He already's on me. I mean, he stays on me. I told him don't ever stop. He's a driving force, definitely motivated me and keeping me going. Love him to death. He's an awesome person.
Yeah, I've said this before, and I'll say it to you, and you tell me if I'm crazy. You put Pistol Pete at the point. You put Chris Jackson at the two. Rudy Macklin at the small forward, Bob Pettit at the power forward, and Shaquille O'Neal in the center spot. Who's going to beat that team?
who beating that team? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody's beating that team.
And, you know,
call me. I'm a little biased, but nobody's beating that team, man.
Me too. And I equate this with in summing it all up, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, number 35, jersey to be retired forever at some point in time during this basketball season. He would be, if the rules were the same as they are now in the NBA, when he played, he'd have been Steph Curry. Or Steph Curry would have been him, is the only way I can equate it.
Absolutely. I mean, they have such – I mean, they play a little bit different. I mean, Mahmoud is obviously quicker. But
Steph was taller.
What similarities? What similarities? I mean, incredible similarities. You know, kind of like I said, undescribable talent that they have. I mean, that with the accuracy and the quickness. But Steph comes close. But Mahmoud, to me, still has his own kind of category. I haven't seen nobody quite like him. What a player. Great talent. As great a talent as he is, a better human being in person. I couldn't be prouder and happier for him.
That's awesome. Vernell, I can't thank you enough for your time, man. You were a terrific, terrific player. The fans still know you. They still love you. They will welcome you back. You got to walk around that building a little bit and let it all soak in for you. But thank you. Continued success to you, and it's been way too long. Let's not wait so long next time, okay?
All right, Jordy. Good to talk to you.
You too, buddy. You take care. Vernell Singleton, as we continue to talk about Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, number 35, to be hanging from the rafters. What a tremendous play. I know it's a football school, but when you talk about the greatest of the greats, basketball wins hands down. Hands down. We'll be back to wrap things up this Tuesday edition of the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back,
and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
We're back. Wrapping things up on a Tuesday. We will not have a show tomorrow. Astros baseball getaway day takes over in our time slot. We'll be back on Thursday. The highlight of the week so far, Sun Belt Conference Media Days. A new commissioner, very, very, very astute. I think he's going to do a great job. But here's the commish, Keith Gill, talking about the state of the Sun Belt Conference.
I stand here today in this historic building to say that the state of the Sun Belt is strong. And when the final whistle is blown at the CFP National Championship and this stadium, I will also be able to stand here and say the state of the Sun Belt is strong. It will be another exciting year for Sun Belt football. The competition for the league championship will be as exciting as ever, and the non-conference schedule will treat our fans to some of the best football in the nation.
I mean, yes, you love it. So it gets underway with in the Superdome with Media Day. It starts off the season in the Superdome with Mississippi State and the Raging Cajuns, and then it ends with the national championship game in the Superdome. Couldn't have a better place to do any of that. All right, it's time for our daily history lesson. We take you back on this day, July 23rd, the year was 2019. It was the 1996. It was the 96 Olympic Games in Atlanta. Carrie Strug, after hurting her ankle on her first vault at the 96 Olympic Games, well, she lined up for the second try on the vault, and this time, bad ankle and all, nailed the dismount, struck the landing, and the rest is history. Carrie Strug, on this day, July 23rd, 1996. I can remember it like it was yesterday. All right, if today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. I hope you have a lot of cake, a lot of ice cream, some presents. It'll be great. Let's see. You share your birthday with the likes of happy 31st birthday to Daniel Radcliffe, terrific actor. Marlon Wayans is 48 years old today. Woody Harrelson, 59. Happy 59th birthday to Woody. He's been in some good ones, to say the least. Alex Bowen is 28 years old today. And that's going to basically wrap up our birthday wishes. So, again, happy birthday from all of us under the Delta Media umbrella to all of you. And if it's your anniversary, happy, happy, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. So, there you go. Fun show today. I know we spent a lot of time on basketball. Rudy Macklin, terrific. Vernell Singleton, terrific. All remembering the stories of Chris Jackson, now Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Very deserving of getting his jersey number retired. He was spectacular. Spectacular. But again, and this is just me, he averaged 30 points a game as a freshman. Three-point line, shot clock. Pistol Pete averaged 44, 45 with neither. Just shows you. Just unbelievable performers. LSU, some of the greatest basketball players in the world. At one, it's just amazing what they've had as far as basketball is concerned. Absolutely amazing. So special thanks to them. Chris Vanini of The Athletic, covering the Sun Belt Conference. All the sound, compliments of Clint and company. We greatly appreciate that. And we appreciate you for listening in when you can. Hopefully it's every day from 2 to 4 p.m. We hope you continue that. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. And thank you, CD, for all you do. We'll be off again tomorrow, Astros baseball, but we'll be back Thursday with another edition of the Jordy Hultberg Show here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We'll see you Thursday from 2 to 4. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette. 103.7 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663.
Sterling Automotive's mission is to serve Acadiana and beyond with a sense of pride.